Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 26. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, if you will, go to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. And if you will, look at verse number 29. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Many sparrows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these encouraging verses, Lord. I pray that you would help us to learn something today. Lord, maybe for some it'll be new information. For most of us, it's just good to be reminded of some things that I guess we know, but sometimes in difficult times forget. And Lord, thank you for the service, the spirit of the service, the good singing, the special music, the choir. Lord, all of it has just gone together so well to prepare our hearts for this time and moment. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless now and help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Everyone can be seated except Gerald. All right, y'all can be seated. Come on, turn that baby around so they can see. There you go. All right. Now, you got to do kind of a spin, panoramic view, so there's people behind you that can't see. All right. There you go. There you go. All right. There you go. Okay. What do you think, huh? Pretty good. Yeah. Hannah did okay. Hannah did good. And all right. You can go ahead and be seated. That's been the main attraction at the Ross House this weekend. And first time I was able to have all three of our grandchildren in the same room together with me and Cheryl since she was born. So we had a good time yesterday evening, and God blessed us. So be sure and go back. And I need to call Brother Gerald's dad down there. What we try to do is exhort each other. I try to take care of the spoiling on this end. I want to make sure he doesn't let off on that end. And we're going to do the best we can as grandparents to totally ruin that child. And so we're thankful to the Lord. Matthew chapter number 6 and Matthew chapter number 10, God takes space in his divine, inspired, preserved words to talk about the sparrows, to talk about the fowls. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, I Know Why the Birds Sing. I know why the birds sing. Mrs. Ali made a surprise visit the other day about 2 weeks ago. I was in the office scurrying about on a Friday morning, looked up, and there's Mrs. Ali standing there. She said to tell you all hi, and she said, Brother Jerry, I'm coming back soon. They were in the area to take care of a couple things. We got to chat and talk. I was able to give her some things, and she caught me up on what was going on. What a blessing. Most of you know Mrs. Ali, when she leaves and goes to stay the winter with her family, she always tells us that I'll be back when the robins come. And someone told me on visitation yesterday, Mrs. Ali's got to come pretty soon because I'm seeing robins. And so I think about that when I see these spring birds showing up. I don't want to complain, but I'm going to for a few minutes. Friday was not a good day for Pastor Jerry Ross. Thank you. No, it gets worse. Trust me, I won't even have to prompt you in a minute when you find out all I had to go through. I finally gave up Thursday and went to the doctor, and I absolutely almost refused to go to a doctor, but I finally gave up and went to it. Two weeks of fighting a head cold and sinus infection and trying fasting and fluids and everything, I finally just said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to be able to preach this weekend if I don't get something going. So I went to see the doctor, and he gave me some medication. So when I woke up Friday morning, I had in my system already two different kinds of antibiotics, but most of you know it takes a while for them to work. And I woke up Friday morning, and I just felt terrible. You know, yeah, I mean, no, it was worse than that. Terrible. It was terrible. I felt terrible. But being the great man of God that I am, I went ahead and got out of bed and said, no, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to serve the Lord today. And after I quit crying, that's what I said. But I did. I just felt rotten. And I got up and I said, jumped in the shower to get awake, got clothes on and said, okay, go do my routine. I'm trying to remember how to make coffee and I'm feeling rotten. And I go out to feed the dogs and it was windy that whole night. And the two dog pans that are usually laying right outside the back door are gone. And my first thought is the wind's blowing. I thought, it's hard telling where they blew to. So I've got some house slippers on. I'm dressed, but I still got house slippers on. And I start going out looking for these dog pans. And I finally find one of them, but it's underneath the van. You know, and I'm looking down. I'm already dressed for church. And I'm thinking, now I got to crawl under the van. So I go get a rake, and I'm trying to pull this dog pan. So I find one. So I'm looking everywhere for the other one, and I'm out there wandering around in the dark with this flashlight that has just enough battery left so that you can turn it on and see a little glow, but it really doesn't do you any good. Why is it that every flashlight in our house for 24 years that I've picked up have always been on its last hurrah? I don't know. So I'm walking around the cow pasture now, and I'm trying to find this dog pan, and I finally find it. I see a little glint of something. I go over to pick it up, and just as I'm reaching down, my right foot kind of goes. I got house slippers on, and I'm thinking, it's like, I'm just, you know, I look up into heaven, I'm thinking, you know, I'm sick. I don't feel good. I can't find my dog pans. I'm trying to feed my animals. And so I finally get the dog pans. I go in there and I feed the animals and I give it to them and they don't say thank you. They don't wag their tail. They just look at me like it took you enough time. I stink. I smell like, well, you know, I smell bad. So then I think, well, I got to go feed the cows now. So I kick off my stinky house shoes and put my boots on and go out and I get the feed for the cow, and I go over, and I usually keep the pan, their trough, feed trough, where I can just dump it over the electric fence, but no, they've pushed it over into the mud, so now I've got to crawl over the electric fence. Yes, I get halfway over it, and all of a sudden I get this feeling. And it intensifies, and next thing I know, I'm, yeah! And I jump off the electric fence and drop the bucket of feed, and now the cows are running, trying to get the feed, and I'm trying to get it, and tripping through the mud, and I pour it in there, and I just look up, and I said, Lord, you know, this is not right. This is, nobody has ever gone through this much trial in their lives. This is ridiculous. So I come back in, and I think to myself, you know what? I still have my Bible reading to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'll read my Bible. I get my coffee, read my Bible. You know, you get in the Word of God, man, it always helps, you know. So I get my cup of coffee, and I get it, and I sat down and I take my first sip of the morning, and I realize because of my medicated state that I've only put half the amount of coffee that should have been in it. It just tastes like hot flavored water. I mean, I don't know about you coffee drinkers, but man, if you can't stand a spoon up in it, I don't want it. You know, I want coffee to have a coffee taste. Amen. You know, trucker coffee, brother. Amen. I mean, you know, get you down the road a little bit here. And I just think, you know, oh, man. I mean, that was a bright spot I was looking forward to, and it's just watered-down, terrible-tasting coffee. It tastes like creamer more than it tastes like coffee, and it's nasty. And I thought, well, you know what? That's par for the course, you know? And then I opened my Bible. I said, okay, here's my chance. And I'm in the book of Numbers. Now, I really don't want to come across bad here right now, and I don't mean to complain. But you know how many different names that I read in 5 pages of Bible that I couldn't pronounce? Can I tell you that there's a lot of families that were in all them tribes of Israel? And that's really all I know and all I got that morning. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, somewhere in here there's got to be this magical verse that's going to jump out and change my life. And I kept reading. And I'm sorry, folks, it was probably my spiritual condition. But I closed the Bible and thought, That didn't help a whole lot, you know. I'm even more discouraged now. And so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll flip the news on. Remember, I'm medicated, okay? So I grabbed the thing and I flipped, you know, the Communist News Network on, and first picture is of our new president. And he's talking about how many trillions of dollars he's going to give away on that particular day. And I said, no, I'm not watching this. So I hit the channel button and it goes up to headline news. And there's a picture of our new Secretary of State. So I just hit the off button. I said, enough of this. I said, you know, it's just going to be a horrible day. I mean, it's just, you know what? Nothing's fair. Nothing's right. Everything's wrong. And it's just the way it is. I started thinking about politics and thinking about the economy and thinking about how bad things were. And I got dressed and I finally went out and got in the vehicle. And it did start. That was good. It started. And I came over to the church. I'm serious. You'll laugh looking back at it. But when these things kind of start piling up on you, they may seem silly, but they start wearing you down. And I came to the church and I thought, well, you know, I'll spend some time praying. And, you know, prayer does help. It really does, doesn't it? But on that particular morning, as I opened up our church membership list and began to pray, it just seems like that the burdens, and you know, folks, listen, it's just not one or two or three people in this church going through tough times. I mean, there is a lot of things going on in a lot of people's lives right now. And you know what? Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I'm praying for these people, but as I do, you kind of, as a pastor, You tend to, as you pray for people, you tend to take on a little bit of their burden of the day. And I felt great to spend time with the Lord, and I was encouraged in that. But at the end of it, I kind of sat at my desk feeling like, Lord, and again, forgive me. Again, I probably wasn't in a real good spiritual place. But I remember kind of grumbling to the Lord a little bit and saying, you know, Lord, these are good people. And you know, it just seems like, and I know this isn't true, but it's amazing what you can start talking yourself into. You know, how come people out there on meth and people out there that won't go to church and people out there doing right, you know, it seems like they don't go through half the heartaches of some of the people that are trying the hardest to serve the Lord. So I'm just grumbling. You know, I am. I'm just kind of like complaining a little bit before the Lord. You know, hurling accusations. I don't think I blasphemed God, but I was just kind of, you know, there. I looked on my to-do list, and there were several things on that list that I had to take care of that day that really wasn't the most pleasant things to take care of. I wasn't feeling good. I told Cheryl I'm going to work hard, and probably about 2 o'clock, if I'm not feeling any better, I'm going to try to go home and lay down a little bit. Well, I kind of pushed through a day of office work that wasn't the most enjoyable things to do. Nothing real uplifting. Just work, you know. And I got done, and I decided I'm going to sneak out a little bit and maybe try to get a little bit of rest and some more fluids and see if I can get this thing turned around. When I got home, I knew that I needed to go out and check the cow's water, so I walked out there, and I stuck the hose in there and flipped it on. Of course, I had to wait a while for it to fill up. And so I'm standing there by the trough waiting for it to fill up. I don't feel very good at all. And right beside me, there's this small tree that we planted last spring. And there's a bird up in that tree. And the wind's blowing, and it was decent Friday, but there's a bird. And it's sitting up there, and it's just singing its little heart out. It's just singing its little heart out. And I looked up at it, and I said to the bird, I said, what are you so happy about? And it just kept singing and singing and singing, carrying on like they didn't have a care in the world. And I said, you know what? Let me tell you why you're singing. Let me tell you why you're happy. You're happy because you're stupid. No, I said this out loud. I said, you're happy because you're stupid. Yeah, if I was stupid as you, I'd be able to sit up there and sing like you didn't have a care in the world either. I said, you don't know who's in office. You don't know the political situation. You don't know the economic situation. You don't understand what I went through just trying to feed my dogs this morning. You've probably never been shocked by an electric fence. I said, you don't bear the burdens of people that have heart. I said, you know, you're stupid. That's why you're happy. And he didn't really talk to me. But I thought he said something like this. Well, maybe you're smart and I'm stupid, but I'm happy and you're miserable. I said, what? I'm thinking, I'm going to go get my gun and I'm going to blow this thing right off that limb. You know, I can ruin his day. Everything's ruined my day. I can ruin your day real quick, bud. And I got to thinking about that little bird. And I got to thinking, why is that little critter so happy? I mean, everything around us is going to pot. Everything around us, folks, for the most part, there's not a lot of good news. And this bird is sitting in this tree just singing away like it doesn't have a care in the world. And I got to thinking about what the Bible has to say about the sparrows. And I got to thinking, you know what? I've got a college education. And that bird doesn't have a college education. And he said, seemed to say to me, well, you know what? Maybe you got a college education, but I know some things that you apparently have forgotten. I said, well, okay, smart aleck, tell me. Tell me what you know that I don't know. You're a stupid little bird up there singing. Tell me what you know that I don't know. And you know what he said to me? He said this. He said, I know that God will take care of me. He said, I know God will take care of me. You apparently don't think that. I know God will take care of me. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I guess I do know that. But I guess sometimes I forget. And he began to sing along and chirp along, but you know what? For some reason, as he's singing along and chirping along, it seemed like that it all came together to the song, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And you know what? He didn't know the Dow Jones was down that morning 300 points. You know what? He didn't care. And he didn't know what his 401k was worth. In fact, he didn't even have one. He didn't have a savings account or not have a savings account to worry about. All he knew was this. My Heavenly Father feeds me every day. He takes care of me. I don't worry about it. He takes care of me. I mean, listen, maybe everything's bad, folks. Maybe the economy is as bad as they say it is. I don't think it is, but maybe it is as bad as they say it is. You say, well, Brother Jerry, don't you worry. Don't you fret. Yeah, I'm going to confess sometimes I do, but that bird never does. You know why? Because that bird knows that every day of his life, God has fed him. And he just is dumb enough to think that today God's going to feed him. And you know what? He don't even worry about tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, he figures the same Heavenly Father that fed him all of his life is going to feed him again. What I'm saying, folks, is this. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Notice this. Here's the question. Are ye not much better than they? And that sparrow seemed to say to me, he feeds me. Don't you think he'll feed you? I mean, one of these days I'm going to fall to the ground and you know what? My life will be over. You have a living soul. I'm not made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. Don't you think if God's going to feed me today, he's going to feed you today? Don't you think if God's going to take care of me today, he'll take care of you today? Oh my goodness sakes, folks. I think what we need to do as Christians is to learn something from a little bird, a little sparrow. Stop doing so much wringing of our hands. Stop doing so much worrying. Stop doing so much fretting. Hey, come on. Look back across your life. Hasn't God taken care of you? This isn't the first time our nation's faced some economic trials and tribulations. This isn't the first time things have tightened up. Now, for some of you young couples, this is the first time you've seen something like this. But you talk to some of the gray-haired saints around here. Some of them have experienced part of the Depression. Some of them went through different times. They've gone through world wars. Listen, they've gone through difficult times. And let me tell you this. They can say today, God has always taken care of His children. I don't think He's going to stop tomorrow. Next thing you know, I'm singing, God will take care of you. And then I realize I am, and I got mad because I was kind of enjoying being depressed. And I said, okay, all right, fine. God will take care of me. I got that. But I said, there's other things you don't seem to understand. You see, you're not a pastor. No, I'm sorry. You know what? I could sit in some tree and sing. And if I stay in the ministry long enough, you may find me in a tree singing one of these days. But I may say, yeah, you can sit up there and sing. You can whistle. You don't understand the burdens. You don't understand the pressure. You don't understand the heartaches. You don't understand how many people are going through tough times. You don't understand what I carry and what other people are carrying. And you don't understand the pressures of life. I said, he said, well, maybe not, but I know something you seem to have forgotten. I said, all right, smart aleck, what is it? He said, well, I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. I know I'm going to spend my life doing what God has created me to do. Now, you know why he was sitting in that tree singing that morning? Because that's exactly what God made that bird to do. I said, well, why are you singing? Because God made me to sing. God created me to do this. This is my job. Now, notice here, folks. It's not the bird's job, the Bible says here, to sow. It's not the bird's job to reap. It's not the bird's job to gather into barns. You know what God created that bird to do? To be able to fly around and to be lifted upon the air and to provide for us an example of somebody that's happy, somebody that can sing, somebody that doesn't always have it easy but trusts in a heavenly Father to take care of them. And that bird said to me, you know what? I'm going to spend my life doing what God created me to do. And I'm not going to complain about it. How about you? And I said, shut up. I don't want to have this conversation with you anymore. All of a sudden he began to sing again. And it seemed like he began to chirp this song. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow the Christ who loved me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. God seemed to speak to my heart, and he said, you know what? I made that little bird, and he's got a job to do. And I made you, son, and you've got a job to do. And I give that bird strength and the ability to do what he's been made to do. And I'll give you the strength and the ability to do what you've been made to do. And folks, listen to me. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all different. God's got different purposes for our lives. He's made us all a little bit different. But every single one of us has something that God's created us to do. Now listen, why don't we just get busy about doing it? Hey, listen to me. I know times are tough. I know sometimes life's discouraging. I know some of you are going through some real heavy, hard, difficult things right now. But the question is this. Are you going to quit doing what God created you to do? Are you going to give up? Are you going to quit? Are you going to say, listen, it's not always easy, but I'm going to do what God called me to do. That little bird's hanging on. The wind's blowing. He's hanging on tight to that little branch. And I mean, that thing's moving. But you know what? He's holding on with all his might, and he's singing with all his heart. And I think to myself, you know what? If he can do that, I can do that. And by the way, if he can do that, you can do that. Well, I was feeling a little bit better after having talked to this bird, but I said to myself, I said, how old are you? I said, you don't look very old. I said, you probably only born this last spring. I said, you wait till you get a little older, bud. I said, look at what I had to look at in the mirror this morning. You see these gray hairs? I said, you see the bags under these eyes? I said, I'm going to tell you what. I don't feel good today. I said, I went to the doctor. He gave me medicine. I'm full of medicine. And you know what? It seems to be doing no good. I should be at the church working. I feel so lousy. I had to come home. I said, yeah, it's easy for you. You're a young bird. Prime of health. Up there singing your little heart out. You know what? You're probably going to live longer than I am. It's amazing how low you can get when you get down. You've never had to go to the hospitals and see people suffer. You've never had to realize that life isn't always, and you're not always going to live life in the strength of your youth. I said, wait till you get a little bit older. You know what? You'll have more sense than to sit up there and sing. And he said, well, I know something that you seem to have forgotten. I said, okay, smart aleck, tell me. He said this, I know God is in control of my life. I know God is in control of my life. Now look what the verse says here. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Verse 31, fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know what, folks, the honest truth is, the older we get, the more complicated life gets, and the more problems you have. And by the way, young couples, God bless you. I enjoyed spending time with Hannah and Gerald. They got a new baby. What an exciting time. Isn't that an exciting thing? But you don't think it's not without its trials? Come on. Let's get in our time machine mentally. Let's go back. Well, I tell you what, they tell you about how exciting it is to have a baby and how beautiful, wonderful. What they don't tell you a whole lot about is how little sleep you get. And sometimes how you don't know what to do. You don't always have the answers. And sometimes you fret and all of a sudden the temperature spikes and you're not sure what to do about it. And then you get them through that infancy and then all of a sudden they get to the point where, my goodness sakes, and whose fault is it? For months you've tried to get them to talk and you've tried to get them to say words and you know, then all of a sudden they learn to. And you think, why did I ever teach them to talk? Why did I ever want them to talk? I mean, listen to what, where did you learn that? I'm not putting you in the nursery anymore. I know you're learning that from those preachers, that preacher's grandchildren. I know you are. What in the world? You know where they learn that stuff? They learn that from their little sin nature. And all of a sudden, you know what? This sweet little perfect child that you waited your whole life for. You look at them one day and they're just a little toddler and you say, okay, hey, wait a minute. Wait, no, don't touch that. And they look at you and they got their hand about like that. You say, now don't touch that. I mean it. And they look at you and they go, and you think the devil got him. The devil got that kid. What happened? My goodness sakes, my kid's a heathen. They're going to be a drunkard in 5 years. Oh my goodness, look at this. Listen, you have to deal. Yeah, but you know what you find out? Hey, you know what? Child rearing's not all that easy. Hey, raising kids isn't that easy. And then folks, listen to me. I'll just share it with some of you that are still walking around and you've got the little stair-step toddlers, you know, and you think you got it under control. Hang in there. Hang in there. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, you got them all lined up. Boy, they seem to be, yeah, well, they're all going to be teenagers one of these days. Come see me. Hey, I'd wait before you write your child-rearing book yet. You might just wait a little bit, all right? And man, you go through the battles and you go through the trials and you go through all that life throws you. And as you get older, you know what? Your strength begins to diminish. And it just seems like, you know what? More and more things are complicated. And your children get up and they get married and they begin to have children. Now you're not just worried about your kids, you're worried about your grandkids. Some of you are worried about your great-grandkids. And I know of one couple in here at least that's married. No, one couple and one lady is worried about their great-great-great-grandkids. Maybe some I'm missing. But it's not like it gets lighter. Are you listening to me? You say, well, why is this bird singing, preacher? Because you know what? Nothing's going to happen to that bird that God doesn't allow. I mean, when I looked up and said, listen, stop your singing. I'll go get my gun and I'll shoot you. You know what he said to me? He said, you wouldn't be able to hit me anyway unless God allowed it. I said, wait a minute, I've been driving down the road before and I've watched a truck take out some of your family, buddy. He said, yeah, well, maybe that happened, but I'm going to tell you, God knew it. And by the way, when they fell, God was there. When they fell, God was there. Now, what are you saying, Brother Jerry? I'm saying this. Springtime's coming. And you know what it brings? It brings the songbirds. And I think the songbirds are sent to teach us some things. You see, I'm not sure that I understood Friday morning when I woke up why the birds sing. But by the time I laid my head on my pillow Friday night, I understood. I knew why the birds sing. Why do they sing, preacher? They sing because they know God will take care of them. They sing because they've decided they're just going to spend their life doing what God created them to do. And they sing because they really believe that God's in control of their life. I want you to look right up here and listen to me before I close. The message, for the most part, has been to try to encourage Christians. But I want to remind you that the verse here talks about your Father, your Heavenly Father. Can I say this? God takes care of His children. Are you listening to me? God takes care of His children. Well, that means all of us, because we're all God's children. Well, I don't know where you heard that, but you didn't read it in the Bible. Listen to what I'm going to say here. Now, the Bible says that when we're lost, we're not children of God. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become a child of God. But as many, John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. When we're lost, all right, put your seatbelt on. When you're lost, the Bible teaches us we're a child of the devil. Now, folks, I'm sorry, there's no way to sugarcoat this or dip it in chocolate. It's just the way it is. Before I was saved, I was a child of the devil. After I got saved, I became a child of God. Guess what? I'm sure glad, and I'm a lot more happy with the daddy I have now than the daddy I had before I was saved. The daddy I had before I was saved was a mean, cruel, wicked liar that took pleasure in bringing hurt into my life and harm into my life and destruction into my life. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, all of a sudden, all of these promises that I shared with you, that bird has, became mine. Listen to me. It's great to be saved. It's great to be born again. Now, I'm not saying that God's not merciful to lost people. I'm not saying that God's not generous to lost people. I'm not saying that God doesn't provide for lost people. But I'm going to tell you something. He is not their Father. And He's not happy where you're at. And the only way that you can go to Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 10 and grab a hold of these promises and say, they're mine, is to make God your Father. How do I make God my Father? Well, you have to answer this question. Do you understand that you're a sinner? Do you understand? Oh, no, wait a minute. If immediately you get your dander up, if immediately you throw your defenses up, oh, not me, I'm not that bad. Wait a minute. Wait, you know what? You'll never get saved in that prideful condition. It's not until a man comes face to face to what he truly is that he's willing to try to seek some help. No, every one of us were born lost in sin. Every one of us, within the first several months of our life, clearly exhibited the fallen sin nature that we all have. Nobody was born on this earth physically on their way to heaven. We were all born on this earth on our way to hell. But thank God Jesus loved each and every one of us, came down, died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, and says, listen, I purchased with my own life, my own blood, the gift of eternal life. And I want to give it to you. Well, how much does it cost? Nothing. Well, who's it for? Everybody. 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 Whosoever will. Well, if it's for everybody, that means that we're all saved. No. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. You know, I could buy every one of these boys on the front row a gift. And I could walk down and try to give it to them. But the honest truth is, it wouldn't become theirs until they reached out and accepted it. Jesus Christ has purchased for you eternal life. And with this eternal life, when you get saved, you get a whole bunch of things when you open up that gift box. Yes, there's eternal life in there, but there's also a walk here on earth. There's also a Heavenly Father that comes alongside you and helps you during difficult times and lifts you up and gives you strength. And listen, He's not going to make all of your problems go away, but He'll be there beside you to face all of your problems, to give you the wisdom to know how to handle them. There's nothing better in the world than being saved. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus, wait, time out. I'm not talking about you prayed a prayer one time to make a preacher happy. I'm talking about true repentance. I'm turning from my sin to the Savior, and I'm going to embrace the grace of God that's been offered. I'm going to accept the grace of God that's been offered to me. I'm going to put my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Have you ever been saved? If you have, let me tell you what a little bird told me. God will take care of you. The best life is one spent doing what God created you to do. And know this, God is in control of your life. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would take these truths and help us, encourage us, bind up broken hearts, encourage people that are maybe a little crestfallen today. The burdens of life, Lord, do get heavy. Sometimes physical illness plays a part in that. Sometimes just emotional distress, discouragement, just the day in and day out trials of life. Lord, it's amazing how they'll accumulate, begin to break down our faith. Lord, it is my hopes that in the weeks and months ahead, as we see the robins come back and we hear the songbirds head back into the trees that surround our homes, and we listen to the bluebird, and we listen to the cardinals, and we listen to the songbirds, that we'll remember why the birds sing. Thank you for promising to take care of us. Lord, give us the good sense just to get up every day and to do what you've created us to do and be what you've created us to be. And Lord, thank you that I don't have to worry about tomorrow because you're in control of tomorrow. And I don't have to worry about today because you're in control of today. Lord, whatever you bring my way, Lord, there's nothing that can get to me that doesn't have your stamp of approval on it, or at least your allowance of it. And I pray, Lord, that we'd see the hand of God in all. Pray these things in Jesus' name.